You don't prepare in a battle, you prepare for the battle. You don't play with your preparation. It's a season. It will not always be there. You know, I've said this to people. If you rush out when you are not prepared, your generation will not forget you. They will note you and not forget that you are a mediocre. Any soldier that gets to the battlefield then start learning how to shoot a gun is a dead soldier. You are not in the ministry to compete, you are in the ministry of war. If you want to compete at all, the only person you should compete against is yourself.
Pastor Femi Lazarus has been commissioned to go raise God's end time army. Sit back and be blessed as a bold soldier of Christ.
I commend you to God's grace. You do this very well.
Father, oh, what love you have lavished on me, a model to be called yours, to share your image. We call you Father. Oh, what love you have lavished on me, a model to be called yours, to share the image of your heart. Oh, we call you Father. Oh, what love you have lavished on me, a model to be called yours, to share your image divine.
Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. If you are there, say amen. Matthew 24. That's not in the Old Testament. It's in the New. In case you are just coming to Jesus. Matthew 24. If you are there now, say amen. Alright. Let's start the reading from verse 1. I believe the scriptures are projected. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you. Somebody say it out loud. Take heed that no man deceives you. Say it again loud and clear. One more time. Alright, so they began to ask Jesus, what is the sign of your coming? We know you are coming back again. Though they didn't, as at this moment, they didn't know the purpose of his coming back. Because in the heart of Peter, the purpose of his coming back was that he was coming back to give dominion to Israel and free them from the hands of the Roman Empire. Are you following what I'm saying? But they asked a very vital question, a very important one. What is the sign? And let me quickly say this. It is a very big deal that God, can trust us. It's a big deal. If you want to get job done, you look for who has capacity to do the job. When you want to do when you want to get important jobs done, you look for the best person in your team. You don't use those who are training to do important jobs. Am I right? Are you following what I'm saying? We love God because He first loves us. He first loved us. We trust Him because He trusted us first. It's a big deal. That's why we sang that song. It's a big honor to be called and anointed. To be His man. Is He His vessel and His scepter? It's a big deal that somebody might go to hell, and the only reason why the fellow may not go to hell is your intervention. That's a big deal. So Jesus began talking to the church, and it is important we note this. When he was going to speak about deception, he didn't say flee from deception. No. Flee would have worked with lust. But when it got to the issue of deception, he didn't say wrestle with it. He said take it. What does that mean? The way to be deceived is to believe you can't be deceived. If you stand before someone that you know is a liar, and the fellow is speaking, something tells you don't believe it. Am I right? Talk to me now. When you stand before people that have the propensity to deceive you, you are at alert. So what is this? What is the meaning of this? Deception is going to work on those who think they can be deceived. So number one, don't overrate yourself. Take heed. Lest no man deceive you. Take heed. Let's fix our gaze on that scripture. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. Meaning that, what is the meaning of this? Alright, please look up. If Jesus was saying that take heed that no one deceives you, my focus would have been broad. If he had said, take heed that you are not deceived, my expectation would have been broader. But he said, take heed that no what? Meaning that when you are thinking about deception in the last days, who are those you be careful of? Men. So it doesn't matter the suffix you had to that. Man of God. Man. Which other one again exists? Anything you can add there. Are you following what I'm saying? There can be a suffix there too. A prefix, sorry. So you can have woman. You get what I'm saying? These are very serious issues. Please pay attention. Recently, I started having some agitations in my heart. How thousands of people will go to places every Sunday morning and the gospel of the Lord Jesus is not being taught. There are a few people who receive what they call intervention right, left, and center. I'm not against the idea of the church or ministers of God distributing money to those who are needy. But when that becomes the crux of attention, we are gathering greedy folks, not Christians. Because I think we were talking about someone, I think yesterday or thereabout, Sarah, my wife, this fellow, sometimes will carry people on. I think she was seeing for the first time a man in ministry. I don't have the boldness to say man of God. A man in ministry that was giving some people IPO to drink in the name of faith. Some died. I think was it about 2 years ago, we're seeing from that same region giving people underwear to hit snakes and so on and so forth. So one of the ones that began to that started affecting my mind was the one that would carry sick folks on his shoulders and slam them on chairs. And a Christian would dare tell me, but they are receiving their healing. The moment you believe that the hand justifies the means, you are deceived. In Christianity, the hand does not justify the means. As a matter of fact, the means is more important to God than the hand. Hebrews 11 shows us that the men that were regarded as the men of faith, at the end of the day, what was their conclusion? They looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. They kept looking forward. You are not a man of faith because of the result. You are a man of faith because of the process. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? How do we know? There is a problem in the body of Christ. There are issues. The moment we begin to build people on the miraculous, their expectation is towards the hand of God, not His ways. And I started crying out. Different things started happening to my heart. And I'm afraid. Because a day is coming, every walk will be tested with fire. Every believer will be tested with fire. Fire is any process that will take away impurity. It can be delay. It can be waiting. It can be lack. Anything that will take away the path, the empire you have built in the flesh, that's fire. In the economy of God, fire is not necessarily that which burns. It is that which purifies. But the Bible made it very clear that when all the works are tested with fire, there are works that will not stand at all. Why? Everything they have done is impurity. Every believer is going to be salted with fire. So fire is a seasoning. If the reason you hang around Jesus is because of the things He can do, what will you do in the day He's not showing up on time? Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes you see people, they have gone through, they were leaders on campus fellowship, they were leaders in NYSC, they were leaders, they tasted leadership, and we think they have been touched. They have not. It will amaze you that these same people get to the junction of marriage. They take name to seven prophets. Take name to the, in fact, some don't even mind going to Abalis. It is when you get to extreme situation that your makeup will be revealed. When the going gets tough, the top does not just get going. There's revelation when the going gets tough. So I look at every one of us here now. Look at everyone seated. I ask a very important question. If somebody comes here now, somebody comes here now, and tell you while you are seated here. Because somebody has put an example now. How will I put it now? Spit in his hand. And while he was doing that, called for different names. You say, what name are you calling? He said, they are names of angels. He said, I've not found this name in the Bible. He said, these are hidden angels. Listen to me. He called those names. And while he did that, put some things under a cloth. 10 million naira appears. And he says, church, I want to take you in the operation of some hidden, mysterious prayers of the kingdom. Let's do the same. 1, 2, 3, go. Spit in your hand. Turn to the west. Turn to the east, the north and south. And call the name of so and so angel. The things you've not heard before. How many of you will stand? I say, I'd rather wait than to enter into a system that God has not laid straight for us. You know, you can't detect deception if you don't know the original truth. You don't overcome deception with stubbornness. You overcome with the truth. I don't think there's ever been a time in the body of Christ that we have had more deceivers than we have in these days. We have loads of them. Do you know what I'm talking about? Loads of them. And if you want to do things deceiving people, you will go fast, but you may not go far. We may go fast. Before the coming of Jesus, it is important the church prepares for the emergence of deceivers. What does this mean? They will bring forth words and they will lead many astray. But how many of you have watched the relay race before? Seen those who are running the relay race? I think I watched one about 3 days ago. Usain Bolt was amongst those who ran that race. I think the first two was United States of America and Jamaica. But I observed something. Every coach in every relay race, because the race we are running on earth is not just sprint. It is not sprint. It is a relay. We keep receiving baton from different generations to generations. So it's a relay race. What does that mean? Please pay attention. In every relay race, you put the best person in your squad at the last lap. But it is also important you start with the best person also. So you start, you put the best at the forefront, and the second best at the beginning. Because it matters how they run that race. If you put somebody there who will fall and fall and fall, it doesn't matter how good that fellow is. His effort to be frustrated. What does that mean? God is going to end with the best, which is the last day church. The Bible said there's never been any like them. Neither shall there be. There's no need. That's the end of the race. That's the meaning. If you give it time, many more will emerge better. It is important the last day church does not deceive herself. The reason why scripture says that there's not going to be any like them is because there's no need. That's the end of the race. But also understand that the devil has corrupted wisdom, so he likes to imitate God. He started with his second best, he's going to end with his best. What did he start with? But as I study my Bible, I discovered that the devil's second best is still his best. Meaning that what he started with is what he's going to end with. Deception. And it is important we investigate how it happened in the book of Genesis. There are many theologies I beg to disagree with. Careful study of the scripture shows me something entirely different. When you ask an average Christian who was deceived in the Garden of Eden, they said the woman was deceived because the man was busy. That's not true. God gave instruction, very clear instruction. Genesis chapter number 2. Don't eat of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Don't eat of it. In Genesis chapter number 3, the woman was speaking to the serpent and said, God said we should not touch. Who deceived who? That's the question. Until we understand who deceived Eve, we'll be deceived also. What did God tell Adam? Don't eat. What did Adam tell Eve? Was that the correct truth? Is that not deception? When your parents tell you at home, the day a man touch you, you get pregnant. Is that the truth? But it is a, listen to the instruction. It is a form of deception that came out of goodwill. That's the most dangerous form. Because the one who is doing it will never be aware. You say, my heart is right. But that doesn't mean your lips are correct. Why did Adam tell Eve not to touch? Probably he had observed excesses. That this woman had a tendency of being excessive. She needs to be curbed. So he said what he said out of a very genuine heart. He wanted to protect her and protect himself. True or not true? But the leading, the nudge that came to Adam, that informed him to extend the truth a little bit for the sake of safety, where was that nudge from? From the devil. So the devil did not have right to come into the garden as a visible creature, except that he has first shown up in the mind of Adam. So there was already an open door. And the open door was in the mind. And once it was communicated through words, and the other fellow accepted it, there was enough ground created for him to now operate. Why am I saying what I'm saying? What demons will do in deceiving you directly is small compared to what men will do. Who are those that will tell you that once you are saved, you are forever saved? It doesn't matter what you do. Is it the devil? Talk to me now. Who are those who say, is it the devil? Men. Right? I mean, I've heard somebody say that even if I commit adultery, it is my flesh that is sinning, not my spirit. Who says that? Is it the devil? Men. Who will teach it? Men. What is the meaning of that? Men will become the entry point for demons. Once they can open you up, demons will take over. So you can now justify what the Bible was saying in the book of is in 2 Timothy now 4. 2 Timothy 4 from verse 1. Is it 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? Give me that scripture quickly. 2 Timothy 4, 1. Quickly. Okay. No, 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. Will those seducing spirits come out of the sea to seduce you? They will come through men. You know, the body of Christ right now, there's a need for a lot of purging, particularly men of my generation. Some of these issues exist in older generations also. my heart sinks. And I don't know why. I think the Lord is giving me this emphasis because there's a need for a voice of righteousness in this perverse season. That it becomes, now it is very easy to have ministers of the gospel, and members will know them. Ah, our pastor. Our pastor said the wrong babes now. Hold on. See how normal it has become. That even when God out of his mercy is allowing some secret to be revealed, some Christians say, I stand with so, so, and so, and so. I think one of the things that broke my heart the most was that somebody was telling me that, do you know there are some men in this nation that when somebody has scandal and it takes money there, and so as you see, the scandal dies a natural death. And I said, who did this to us? I mean, you can literally look at someone who is saying is representing the gospel, and you know there's nothing about Jesus in this life I'm seeing here. You are not judging. People go about and preach things they've not proven. Some are under pressure, and they just want to say something for the sake of saying something new. It is new, but not fresh. I want us to look at it from a very right perspective. Has there ever been a time that a church is like this? Some of you seated here can count one or two girls, ladies that are your friends, that have been molested by different men of God. You can count. I say, ah, that fellowship, forget those ones. Some of you are even coming to church, you are coming with your guard. Because you are not sure what you will meet. What informs these people that ministry can still be business as usual? If that's not deception, what is it? In the days of our fathers, what men look for in minister is not packaging but content. In our days, content has been displaced. I will literally sit down with books of men like Will Willie and be held by the Holy Ghost for hours. But now we have more books, and you read the whole book, 1,000 pages. No mention of anything that points men to heaven. No mention of anything Jesus. No, and yet it is number one bestseller. Many of you can't wait to come out and start doing ministry in those ways also. The ways of righteousness is fast becoming a way that is not popular anymore amongst us. I think there was a time about last year, people began to bring up a doctrine. And the issue about these things is that, yes, some of them exist as spectacular operation. Is it possible that a believer by locate? Yes. Has it happened in the Bible before? Yes. When it becomes the pursuit of the church, we are being led by charlatans. Somebody will come to church and share testimony. I bought pepper from the hands of the pepper woman, and she thought I had given her money, and I didn't do so, and she even gave me change. And people will jump up and shout, dimensions, dimensions. Listen to me. There are many of you now, you are listening to tapes. You have no understanding of what you are listening to. But it sounds deep. And you say, ah, strong word, oh, strong word. you come out and you got yourself in trouble. What God wants to do is to reconstruct our minds. You know, if you are a medical doctor and you have seen too many people die, what happens to your heart? You grow cold. You go to a government hospital, somebody is rushed in. I think I was reading the case of a lady on Twitter. She was rushed into the hospital. She said, I need emergency help. And they said the nurses are doing their morning devotion. Fantastic thing to do. At the wrong time. Because there has to be balance. There are cases of people that are rushed to the hospital with gunshot wound, knife wound. They call on doctors, say, no bed, just put her somewhere. And they will bleed to death. The devil is pushing the limit. He's pushing the limit. When you hear of abominations set up in high places, he's pushing the limit. What does that mean? By the time you hear of people you so revere doing things that are not right, he's pushing the limit. What does that mean? He's telling you how possible it is. So your mind can grow cold. When it begins to happen to you, say, how about our leaders? It's not happening to them. When you look at the issue of Fulani herdsmen in Nigeria, aside from Borno, Maiduguri and all those places, right? But now you hear about your state, you hear about Ogun State. I was reading yesterday in the news how that they've gone back to that same place they were pursued. They started destroying farmland. What are they doing? Anywhere there's going to be colonization, they push limit. Do something suddenly and let the enemies know you can invade them. The devil is pushing the limit on the church. And many of us are playing into his hands. He's pushing the limit. As long as your faith is anchored on miracles, you are gone for. A wise man in this season is one who will build his house upon the rock, the word. So that by the time the storm comes, that's the fire of that season. When the rain comes, he stands. How many things do you now believe in your heart that is possible that years ago you wouldn't believe it? Your heart has been broken too many times by those you trust. Now you don't even know what not to believe. True or not true? And the church needs to rise. The Bible even had to make it very clear. If the days are not shortened, no flesh will be saved. What does that mean? As the coming of Jesus approaches, even the weak can become fatigued. The things you will vehemently say no to, the limit has been pushed. And for those of you that have men around your lives that honor you, that revive, your fall is a push on the limit of the church. Your fall is not just your fall, it is our fall. There are many of you listening to me now, you don't know what your life entails, but it is important you don't make mistakes all the same. Even if you have one fellow that is connected to you and looks up to you as you follow Christ, see it as a very sacred thing. Do you know what it means for someone to sit with you and look up to you? I trust you with the whole of my heart. Anything you tell me, I will do. I have anchored my faith as you follow Christ. I will keep following you. The instructions you give, the counsel, I will model my life after you. That's a serious thing. Are you aware? Hello? Are you aware? You don't know yet. It's a big deal. So when you live your life, realize it is not just your life. If something happens to you now, the fellow who looks up to you that you are a pet, you know, while we're on campus, something happened. A lot of things were happening on campus. We're having issues of accreditation of our course. And some people say, we are not going to back out. Say, if God can lead Pastor Femi Lazarus here, if anything will happen, God will tell him. I say, ah. Do you now know what it means to be in that position? And you are not even hearing God. Uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Yoruba have an addict. They will say, Enton wo kin wo ran. People are viewing you. You don't start viewing things. There are many of us seated here, you have no idea of the level of trust God has decided to place upon you. We were speaking with some friends yesterday night, and we're looking at the man called here, Debue. And looking at this man, one unusual man. Our children will be born. They will hear, like we heard of Babalola, that a man once walked this earth. And I was following the Solemn Assembly, was ministry on Saturday. And the summary of the message, that was last week, he kept saying, a dog that will get lost will not hear the whistling of the hunter. A CAC prophet said that there is an angel that walks with just one man in every generation, and that angel is with him. Well, not, but that's what the man said. He's a trusted man of God. He said that angel is with him. And I look at that example. I look at a man who is very careful about every statement that comes out of his mouth. It is amazing how that the church only values the dead and discard the grace upon the living. If this man, something happens to him, all over social media, the message will be there. And while God is bringing forth men, setting as examples, patterns to watch, somehow our heart seems like it is seared with hot iron. We won't watch that. You ask me a question. Say, Pastor, when there are ministers of God who are living in secret sin and doing all those things, are you saying that the grace of God can no longer fall upon them? No, I'm not saying so. But it's a dying fan. A fan disconnected from electricity. If it's giving any breeze at all, it is on its way to decline. Total silence. Some are on the ladder. But they are not climbing up, they are climbing down. You follow after them, you come down together. A day is coming. There will be no church service anywhere again. And everything we are having here will just be a memory. There will be no Pastor Femi Lazarus to stand hold the mic and declare these words to you. The rapture would have taken place. We all would have been changed. Some to eternal damnation and some to everlasting life. The church keeps talking about the coming of Jesus, but one day is actually one day. Abi, what we are saying will become reality one day. True or not true? And by every indication, that day doesn't seem to be far anymore. And Jesus had to warn the disciples. You want to overcome deception? Take it. And I'm warning you now. You can't listen to everybody. You can't listen to everything. You can't take in everything. I'm standing here as your pastor. I have less than four people I listen to. Four? I can count them, but I don't want to idolize anyone. I want to. There are many people that are a blessing in my generation. I bless God for them. But if I must follow God, I must hear something higher. Many of us have no form, no comeliness. Because we take in everything as long as it contains Jesus. We are victims of every false doctrine, every heresy. Some young boys are coming, using you as experiment. They will say it and check your reaction and say some more. The moment you know you can be deceived, that's first step towards freedom. At least know. I know I can be deceived. That's why I will not even listen to some things at all. Because when the ear stops hearing, the heart can still trap issues. I know I can be deceived. Yes, I can be deceived. I can hear something that will make me stop fasting, that will make me stop praying, that will make me stop something. I can be deceived. Yes, I'm not too big to be deceived. Nobody is. There are some of you now, if they still call you from home and tell you to come home, there's one yearly festival. One baba is ready to do something for all the family according to the custom. You don't mind. Are there no Christians sitting here that when it comes to marriage, even if a Muslim shows up, that's when you know we serve the same God? Can God trust you not to be deceived? Even when it is tied to your greatest need, can He trust you? Gideon went with how many men? Huh? No, he fought with 300. How many thousand did he go with to the battle? Huh? Huh? Ah. How many thousand men did Gideon go to battle? If I had gone to the same battle with 1,000 men and 500 soldiers, who came with more soldiers? It is not about attendance, it's about the number of soldiers. Do we have 20 men currently seated that we take them, one of them, to one institution in Nigeria? You, Uniben, you, Unilag, you, Lasu, you. That in less than 2 years, the heat of their current will be felt around the whole campus. How do you know? Not even think about it. You pass through school. And many of you knew what happened when you were on campus. You were even the one they were pursuing to come to fellowship. And now I'm talking about going to a place and they'll feel your impact. Say, yes, we are ready. Ready to do what? We have several men, few soldiers. The soldiers are still busy about their own need. Still busy about their own need, their personal need, personal indulgence. Still concerned, they are concerned with everything. There's one shoe now. If I can buy that shoe. Still come back with loads of cares. And there are many of you here, the Lord is revealing the truth to you, but you just won't come out. And that's one of the loudest forms of arrogance, self-preservation. I don't want anybody to criticize me. Listen to me. If you are having the call of God upon your life, and each time they criticize a man of God, you keep telling yourself, that won't happen to me in my own time. It won't happen to you really, because you won't get there. We have not been called to be loved by men. If we serve this Jesus the way he should be served, we'll be hated. I'm telling you. People will hate you. When they criticize men, it matters who is speaking. We saw a video of Mommy Oyedepo kneeling down to greet Pastor Oyedepo. Social media feminists rose and said, look at her. I even worship him. If those people criticize you, is that not a blessing? Some of you are too afraid. You are addicted to being loved. So much so you are now political. unstable like waters, driven by everything. You lie at will just to maintain friendship. God brings to people's life, they are not preserved because you are a liar. You won't tell them the truth. Your relationship is not based on principle. That's my covenant friend. Your covenant friend is fornicating. My covenant friend. We don't talk to those areas. God can't. God is trusting with an individual. You will mess up. And you say you should trust him with a generation. The criteria for sustaining any relationship at such a time as this is the truth. If it can't be built on it, it should not be built at all. Should not be built at all. There are churches on earth now that they can never preach about the coming of Jesus. They won't even dare write, Jesus is coming back again. Say, but they are implying it. Implying a message that should be said out loud. What if a thief is coming with a knife to stab you? And I say, was I not implying it? Which one will make you avoid the thief? And I say, thief, thief. I want us to bow our heads. And talk to God. I will not be a victim of deception, and I will not be a tool of deception to your church. In the name of Jesus. I will not be a victim of deception, and I won't be a tool of deception. I will be an agent of the truth anywhere I find myself. I won't lie and deceive just to keep relationships. I'm an agent of the truth. In Jesus' mighty name, we're praying. Say that amen again, loud and clear.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femlazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.